2 Corinthians 11, we're going to read verses 14 and 15. And our subject this morning is righteousness and truth redesigned. And that means made into something else than what it has been. You know, when somebody redesigns something, if it's a house they do that to, we call it remodeling, don't we? Now, if it's a piece of apparel, a dress or something, we call it redesigning apparel. We call it different things under different circumstances, but it's all the same. It's changing the design of something. And what we're going to preach about this morning is changing the design that God has ordained, changing the design of righteousness and truth. And obviously, as soon as you hear that title, you know that I've got to be talking about something that the world is doing. But I want you to be aware that more specifically, Satan is doing it. And his minions are moving at his beck and call. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14 and 15, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Oh, how beautiful. Satan and the things that he brings appear to the human creature. That's what this is telling us. Verse 15. "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now I want you to notice that these verses teach us at least these two things. The devil himself gets transformed into an angel of light under circumstances that fit his purposes. And his ministers are transformed as ministers of righteousness. Or that is, they're presented by the devil to the world as being all upright and having the right answers, the right way, the right purposes, the right goals. This is what the devil does in his work in the world. Now, let me just open this by saying that there's a very sinister program afoot today that has its roots in the long-range plans of Satan. The program is really subtle. Isn't that exactly what all of the devil's programs are? From the very beginning, Satan appeared very subtly and was very subtle in how he tweaked and how he handled Eve and the temptation there. It's very subtle because it involves the very slow conversion of the attitudes of billions of people on earth. Let me say that again. It's subtle because the aim of it is to convert the attitudes of billions of people on earth. Satan is at work, brothers and sisters, today, and it is so manifest today as never before. Satan is at work revolutionizing the views of the human race for the purposes of leading them to a completely different definition and philosophy about righteousness, truth, and enlightenment. He is creating, and it is so evident now, a false truth. That sounds oxymoronic, but it's true. He's busy creating a false righteousness. That sounds oxymoronic too, but it's true. And he's busy creating a false philosophy or understanding about what it means to be enlightened. That's his work. That's where he's going. And he's got to get this stuff in place so that he can usher the man of sin upon the world scene. He's got to get it done. He has a short time to do it, and he's busy, busy, busy with this work. Now, since the time of Christ, the Lord's people have been indoctrinating the inhabitants of the world about what is righteousness, what is truth, and what is enlightenment. We've been busy with that business since Christ went back to heaven. And we've always used the same tools and the same message in doing this. Now, although the world as a whole has never embraced the believer's teachings about righteousness and about truth and about enlightenment. These teachings of Christians have nonetheless really done a lot to transform governments and the cultures of people across the world. You know, today, Christianity can be given credit for causing there to be in some countries of the world what we call democracy or republican democracy. A republic. That means that people have freedoms of choice about things like worship, which is important. And you know, when you look around the world and see where there's a kind of benevolence by rulers of all kinds being practiced, they're kind toward their subjects and stuff, you can give credit to Christianity for a lot of that. Because it has had its impact upon the world to change the way men deal with men in a lot of circumstances. The way rulers deal with their subjects. The way subjects deal with their rulers. So Christianity has had its effect. Although, for the most part, the world does not and will not embrace the truths behind righteousness and truth and enlightenment. Now, we find that this is where we're at right now. Today, though, everything about this is changing. I think all of you have already noticed it's changing. You see it changing more than anywhere else, I believe. You can see it changing in American culture. I know it's changing elsewhere in the world, and we've got proof of it by just watching the news. But in this century, I want to warn us that we are going to see an evolution in thought, in philosophy, and in the definition of truth. There's going to be an evolution in this century that's going to turn the definition and the philosophy surrounding truth on its head, upside down. This evolution is being helped along by both secular, that is earthly, and religious cultures. Religious folks are busy doing it, and non-religious organizations are busy doing it. Now, a whole lot of the truth right now that is real and Bible-based has been altered, and it's been mixed with a little of what I'm going to call New Age religious thought. There's nothing Christian about New Age religious thought, brothers and sisters. And when you see New Age attached to Christian movements, be warned away from it. Because it is full of heresy and it is moving toward a kind of witchcraft. I don't know what else to call it. A kind of otherworldliness that is not of God. So let's be warned about that. So a lot of the truth that is Bible-based truth has been intermingled now in Christian circles and is called New Age believing, New Age belief, New Age doctrine, New Age Christianity. This is going on. This is nothing less than this transformation of the real truths of God into a lie and transforming of what constitutes righteousness into a lie. In the Bible-based teachings that Christians have handed down through the generations, we have taught that righteousness is, first of all, what God's people get when they get saved. They receive in the new birth the righteousness of Christ. And then the other side of that righteousness is that we have taught, and the Bible teaches, and that's why we teach it, that righteousness is living right before God. That is, if you're going to talk about behavioral righteousness, it's living according to the precepts of God as the Bible teaches one to live. That's what we've been taught and what we taught down through the generations as Christians. Truth has been taught by Christians as being what Jesus Himself is the essence of, first of all. He is the truth. And if you find it to be the truth, you'll find it in Jesus. If you find any truth at all, you'll only find it in Jesus. And then we also have taught down through the generations that truth is what God has said in His own words without adding to or taking from by men. That's written truth. The words written by holy prophets and apostles handed down to us that we might know the mind of God. So there's two facets to truth, two facets to righteousness, and we have taught down through the ages that enlightenment is what happens when a human being, by the act of God, receives the new birth and gets enlightened. Suddenly the light comes on in his soul about who God is, what Christ's gospel means for him, and so on. He gets an enlightenment at the new birth and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then further enlightenment, we've always taught, is when we, studying what God's message is to us, get greater and greater and greater understanding of what God's telling men about Himself and about themselves. That's further enlightenment. The enlightenment of spiritual education. So these are the three things that Satan's program intends to change. And one of the facets of it is so-called New Age religion or New Age doctrine. But there's a lot more going on than just New Age doctrine. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices, but today the devil is doubling his effort in order to make a conversion away from real truth, real righteousness, real spiritual enlightenment, and to get humankind to believing that, no, that's not what that little narrow-minded bunch of Christians is teaching is not real truth. And then what they're saying is righteousness is not real righteousness. And what they're saying is enlightenment from God is not real enlightenment, but there's something else. That is the thrust of His message. And He's busy, busy, busy. Now we want to think about a few aspects that are warning flags to us that this is going on to put us on the alert, not to discourage us from continuing to stand for the truth. Because brethren and sisters, I want to tell you something. The day is coming that the truth will be snuffed out except for the people of God who hold it dear and keep the light alive. It's coming. And so, we don't want to get discouraged about presenting the truth to the world. But we do want to look at some warning flags that it's going on and from what direction Satan is working to get this done. So in thinking about that, in thinking about our text verses, let's point out first of all that today, for the first time most notable in history, never before has this fact been so prevalent. Today, in this generation, lies have new faces, lies have a new standing, and lies have a new, listen to me, credibility. By that I mean, people all over this globe are given credibility, are saying that lies are the truth. Can you imagine that humankind is swallowing the idea that lies are truth? Now, I'm going to say something right now that may get me in trouble if this ever went public. But I'm going to say it anyway because I'm not about withholding truth because it might cause me trouble in public. Preachers should never be that way. Neither should God's people. But I'm going to say this. One of the greatest icons of lies having been given credibility today across the globe is the lie about global warming. And the world has bought it. Hook, line, and sinker. What is wrong with humankind? Listen, I know that God has told us in the Word that in the last days, that God, after having suffered long with the wickedness and the rebellion of humankind, will give over the mass of unregenerate humanity to strong delusion. that they believe a lie and be damned who receive not the truth of God. Are we there, brothers and sisters? Are we there? I ask the question. I'm afraid that we are there because in this day, lies have a new freshly washed face. And they have a new standing. Oh, there must be some credibility, some truth to this thing that people, that these leaders are telling us. And it has new credibility. Why? It's got to be true. 150 scientists said it was true. This is where we are. This is the warning flag to God's people. And I think all of us have already noticed that leaders across the world can and do today lie, looking straight into the cameras. And you poor rural snobs, you poor rural corn huskers down here in West Tennessee don't know the difference, they think. Have you seen any lies on TV lately that you sat there and looked at and you said, you know, I don't have much of an education and I don't keep up on current events much. But that internationally televised statement by that leader there is a plain lie. Seen any of that? And then the next thing that you hear is that the whole world has gone after that lie and said, oh, gotta be the truth. It's being held forth by international leaders. It's been being held forth by a huge panel, consensus of scientists. So it's gotta be true. That's lies with a new face, new standing, new credibility. It's the work of the devil. And Jesus said it in a real condensed statement in the book of John, chapter 8 and verse 44, when he was talking about the devil. He said, when he, the devil, speaketh, he speaketh a lie. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Listen, the father of lies crafts lies every day, and nothing promotes his cause more than to have a lie come forth and gain popularity across the globe with its new face and its new standing and new credibility, because there are enough of the ministers of Satan that appear as ministers of righteousness that they can say, why, yes, you must believe. This is the truth. Trust me. Warning flags, brothers and sisters. Look around. Keep your eyes open. Because this is proof positive that the works of the devil to convert or turn upside down, if you will, to evolve or transform the great facts of truth and righteousness and enlightenment that are of God to something that is a lie. Pretty soon, if someone in power and someone of influence says something is true, everybody swallows it up. Why do they? Because God shall send them strong delusion that they believe a lie. God only suffers so long with rebellious humanity. And we know that we've had the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in its current open, full message for almost 2,000 years. And yet mankind still goes on toward destruction. Now the second thing that I've already been hinting at, that is a certain sign that Satan is at work with this sinister program of converting or transforming the truths of righteousness and truth and enlightenment. The second thing that makes us know it's going on is that wicked men have a new face, have new standing, and have new credibility. Now let me I don't have much time to spend on it, but I want to point out two things. First of all, I want to ask you a question. You think for yourself. How is it nowadays and you've all heard this, how is it all of a sudden that among a vast number of people on the planet, and especially among Americans, so-called, because I have to doubt that these people who are spouting this rottenness are really true Americans. But be that as it may, have you noticed how many people today are worshiping or making heroes out of people like Mao Zedong? Everybody know who that is? The former ruler of communist China that killed millions and millions of his citizens. They make heroes out of people like Hugo Chavez, the dictator of Venezuela. They make heroes out of Hitler and Stalin and Castro. What is this? Wicked men are coming up with new faces, new standing, new credibility. And people are swallowing it up. Now, if you don't believe it, ask some of your liberal associates out there in the world. Be careful which one you ask them about. But ask them about what they feel about Mao Zedong or at least Castro. That's a real widespread one. You're probably going to hear from that liberal that, man, he was a great organizer and he's a wonderful revolutionary. Okay. We're talking about murderers being deified almost, being placed in positions of hero worship. These people that I named, Mao Zedong and Hugo Chavez and Hitler and Stalin and Castro, have collectively ordered or been directly instrumental in the murder of not less than 65 million people during their lifetimes. So now murderers are heroes? What is that, brothers and sisters? What are we seeing? What are we seeing? We are seeing the transformation of principle. We're seeing the transformation of values. We're seeing the transformation of truth. Because the truth is, they were murderers and oppressors, but now they're heroes. Be warned. Second flag. The third flag. Not the least flag, but the third one I have on my list. In this current wicked program of Satan, in the undermining of all that is truth and righteousness, Jesus Christ in the world has now been completely, successfully reduced to a second-rate prophet or a model man, some man who lived in history who set a good example by the way that he lived. That is the new model of who Jesus is. And we have so many forces helping that along. Did you know that so-called New Age Christianity places Jesus in this box with a bunch of other good men? This is New Age Christianity putting Jesus Christ, the Jehovah God, in a little box with a bunch of mortal men who are at best liars because he's in a box with Muhammad, Buddha, Lao Tzu. I mean, who are these people? They are perpetrators of lies and heresies to lead human beings to the gates of hell. That's what they are. I know that's plain talk, brothers and sisters. And I want to tell you something. In our society today, I'd be strung up if the liberal order of the day was left to do what they wanted to do for preachers like me that are preaching this stuff. It doesn't make it any less true. I'm being very blunt for a reason. All of you need to be aware what's coming down on your heads. And you're going to have one of two choices. Either you acknowledge that you are Christ's and Christ is yours, or you deny Christ and escape the persecution and the trials and the trouble that's coming. It'll be one or the other. And the big problem is, today, all of the media of mankind is making the greatest attempt ever to just lull you to sleep about this and say, oh, don't. It's okay. It's just the way politics go. It's just the way global issues go. So on, so forth, so on. Don't be deceived. We as God's people need to put on the whole armor of God. And we need to have it on now. Now, the fourth thing in this list of things that should be red flags to us. The Bible today is being reduced to just one of many religious books. There are a massive number of Americans and people elsewhere in the world that believe that the Bible is just another nice religious book that's to be put on the bookshelf up there with the Koran, the writings of the Bhagavad Gita, the Hindu writings, the writings of Shinto, and all the other religious documents and publications that are there. Just to be put up there as just another religious document. What is that? The very Word of God, the Word of the God who made the world, suddenly is just the equivalent of a bunch of other religious writings. Warning sign. Warning sign. Because soon now, in the devil's program to turn the world upside down as to the view, the world view of righteousness, truth, and enlightenment, you will be taught, your children will be taught, it will be impressed upon you that you can get your truth, and you can learn a path of righteousness, and you can get enlightened by reading the Quran as easily as you can if you read the Bible. That's where we're going. I think it's important for every one of us to emphasize again within our families that there's only one true Word of God. Because it's going to come down to the hour. Right now, American citizens are converting to Islam by the hundreds, if not thousands, per day. Did you know that Islam teaches not only that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, He is not part of a triune God, but that Islam teaches under Sharia law that if you worship anyone but Allah, you will be taken out and beheaded in public. Where are we going with this? You think, oh well, Sharia law can never come to America. It's already been tried. There's Sharia law in cities, in what you might call covens, or neighborhoods of Muslim people in the United States right now. That portion of the city is under Sharia law. And I want to tell you something. One of the great sweeping plans of Satan, listen to me, one of the great sweeping plans is to make Islam a dominant religion across the world. Why? Because Islam is a counter-religion to Christianity. It's got the same forefathers, Abraham and Isaac and blah, blah, blah. It's got the same concept of God, at least as the Father, although denying the Trinity of God. It's got the same history about the Jews and about the offspring of Ishmael. It's got all of the things that Christianity's got except two important elements. It presents God as Allah and Jesus Christ as just the prophet. But everything else is in place. Even the rules. although they're legal rules, the rules of moral behavior are there. You think Islam can never become the dominant religion in the United States? I'm not a prophet, brothers and sisters, but watch one or more nations in Europe come under Sharia law. I'm talking about Western civilizations come under Islamic law in less than 10 years. It may be a small country, but then again, it may be England. Let's watch and be aware. The Bible is being reduced to just one of many books. Now, where's this all going? I'm going to sum it up real quickly because I've more or less covered it already. I think where this is all going is best expressed by a mission or purpose statement of a Shia Muslim sect called the Baha'i. Here's what they say in their teachings. The unification, everybody know what unification is, pulling together and making them one. The unification of humankind is the paramount, most important, issue in the religious and political conditions of the present world. Isn't that a wonderful statement? Unifying all of humankind. Let's all go back to Babel. Let's all go back to Babel because that's where the first big unification movement started. We could go back to Babel and all build a mighty tower. Think, brothers and sisters. But isn't it a wonderfully peaceful sounding statement? But notice who it is that has that in their mission and objective. A Shia Muslim sect. Islam? What's to keep Satan from tweaking that and tweaking it and tweaking it until it becomes the obsessive mission of every Muslim group on the face of the planet? Now, when all the Muslims aim to unite humankind under one common brotherhood umbrella, what kind of umbrella do you think that might be? Oh, it'll be Christian. Not so, my brothers and sisters. It'll be Islam. Well, at least it'll unite humankind. Oh, yes, it will. Because if you're a Christian and you say, I'm a Christian, the Muslim will say, you can't possibly be integrated into our system unless you convert to Islam. Are you going to convert? No. I believe in Christ as my Savior. Okay, next, take him out and behead him. I'm not talking fantasy, brothers and sisters. I'm talking reality. And I know that I sound like some kind of fanatic. But I'm telling you what's happening as we speak. As that clock winds down back there, I'm telling you what's happening across the world and in the United States. And we need to be on our knees about the fact that we are about to be hemmed in as God's people. Well, there's too strong of a force of Christianity in America. I'm going to tell you something. Christianity in America, brothers and sisters, as a mainstream religion, is going to recapitulate to Islam. That is, they are going to fold up their tents and join Islam. They have no reason not to. They're already singing Kumbaya. They really are. Now, here's another Baha'i philosophy that you want to watch out for. And this may become the Islamic cry of the century. Globalization. Does everybody know what globalization is? Getting one global government with one set of laws under one global president and a bunch of subordinate governors ruling over the different countries. Hear anything? Hear anything, brothers and sisters? Do you perhaps hear the organization of the earth in a one world government so that the big governor can show up on the scene. Him that the devil has been working to bring forth for generations. Is it coming? Is it coming? The Shia say, that these Baha'i say, globalization represents not only the progressively moving forward, greater manifestation of this principle uniting humankind under one umbrella, but also it represents humankind's progressively greater perception, understanding, of the bonds which already unite it. Now let me ask all of you a question. Most of you have been a Christian a while. Do you have any unity with those who hate Christ and rebel against Christ and will not trust Christ? Is there any unity there with those people? I hope not. I hope not, because what concord does Christ have with Belial? That is, with the workers of wickedness, with the workers of darkness, with the unregenerate, unbelieving world. What concord is there? There is none. Paul was asking that as a rhetorical question. He was saying, I'm showing you that there is no concord. There is no agreement between Christ and what is Christ and those that are Christ and those that are of the world. There's no agreement there. If you're agreeing with the world, you've left off agreeing with Christ. And so there is no agreement. But the Shia religion is saying, at least this group is saying, that humankind is progressively understanding that there are bonds that already unite all human beings together. We have a common bond. It's in Adam. And as in Adam, all sinned and died, so in Christ, all are made alive that are made alive. And we need to be clear on this. The only unity we have with the rest of humankind that does not believe in our Savior is in Adam, who sinned and fell. And yes, as a fallen race, we have unity with humankind, but there is no spiritual unity. There is no peace unity between us and the rest of mankind. For every human creature that comes to Jesus, there's instantly peace between us and Him, but not otherwise. That's the truth of how we have to do. Now, this is where things are going in the mind of Satan and, listen, in the minds of his ministers who appear as messengers or ministers of righteousness. But humankind will never be united, because there will always be subjects of Satan, and there will always, until Jesus comes, be subjects of Jesus. But last of all, there's another story. It's seen in the last phrase of our text. I want you to carry this home with you. What does he say in the last phrase? He says, concerning those who are Satan's emissaries appearing as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Doesn't matter how the world paints up liars and the devil's emissaries to be. Doesn't matter how righteous they're described to be by the world. According to that phrase, the Lord Jesus has another destiny for them. It's all about according to their works. The declaration from the Scripture of God is that their works are wickedness, that they have a design that is so anti-Christ that it should be obvious to children of God. And that is the final story, whose end shall be according to their work. So while we labor down here and while we struggle to maintain our balance in a world gone wild with the lying works of the devil, let's remember that the judge of all the earth is going to settle this in the end. And even though we may not have any other thing that we can have recourse to and rest upon, we can rest upon that. That the judge of all the earth is going to settle it in the end. God help us to remember that and call on the Lord when we feel squeezed. Because we will feel squeezed. Let's